And I'm going to share a message with you today about being one in marriage. Now, I want to begin by reading a verse to you today. It's found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. You can turn there if you want to. But it says this. It says, this explains why a man leaves his father and his mother and is joined to his wife. That's okay when the time is right to leave mom and dad and leave the nest and be united with your wife. It says they'll be united into one. Can everybody say with me the word one?
One.
Come on, let's say it a little better than that.
One.
See, I believe you will agree that marriage is critically important to the stability of societies around the world. You know, sometimes we just think this is kind of an American message. It's really not. And by the way, I want to say to everyone today, this is not a message about judgment against anyone whose marriage has not worked out. Far be it from that. I have a heart and a compassion and an understanding for you of what's going on in our world. But I want you to listen today. I believe this about marriage. If you have strong marriages, you'll have strong churches. And if you have strong churches, it will make strong communities. And strong communities will do this. They will make strong nations. I believe one of the reasons Satan is sending a direct onslaught attack against marriage today is because he knows what I've said to you is true. That we need strong marriages to have strong churches and ultimately strong communities and nations. But we do have a problem. Marriage as an institution, as well as marriage at the practical level, is hurting. I think we all know that and understand that. Statistics show that marriage of professing Christians are in no better shape than marriages in society at large. So guess what that says to me? That says to me that we've got some work to do. Now, whether you're married or want to be married or don't plan on being married, somebody say, that's me, or have been married, you have a stake in strengthening the most important, and I emphasize that, human institution on the earth. Do you know that the marriage was the first institution that God established? The goal of this message is to do several things, but it's to refresh your vision for and commit to your own marriage and the marriage of those you love and to the institution of marriage itself, even if you don't plan on being married. Folks, we all need to understand it was the first institution that God established, and we all need to be here to be a strength to it. Now, let's be very clear. God has given vital instructions about marriage throughout the entire Bible. Here's what I want to do today. I want to share three vital truths today regarding marriage. And by the way, these are not all the vital truths that need to be shared, but for this setting, I want to share these with you. Now, I want you to listen to me today, because number one, and I might preach, I'm usually tempted to do that, marriage is first and foremost a spiritual endeavor. Now, I know that's not going to give you goosebumps this morning, but you sure need to hear what I'm saying to you. Marriage is first and foremost a spiritual endeavor. Now, to say we're going to get married and raise a family and live happily ever after and not include God in the marriage, it's like saying I'm going to buy the car of my dreams, but I'm not going to put any gasoline in it, and everything will be fine, and we'll just have a grand old time as we travel through life. How many of you know that new car, whatever your fantasy car is, if you don't stop in to put fuel in it, guess what? It is not going anywhere. Now, I want to remind all of us of a truth. God is the designer of marriage. By the way, folks, hey, marriage is His idea. Now, listen, I in one sense, I've got some things written down here. I'm hurting over the fact that society is not seemingly figuring this out. But my heart is hurting more because I keep wondering when professing Christians are going to understand this as well. Barna Group claims that the divorce rate among Christians is virtually the same as among the population at large. Again, I want to say this to some of you who are viewing this, some of you are hearing this on the radio, however you're getting this information, to those of you here, I want you to know we are not out to condemn you. But I wanted to take this opportunity to speak and encourage the first institution that God began. You see, in the Garden of Eden, before sin and death occurred, God saw that it was not good for man to be alone. Those of you who are single and want to be married, you understand this. There is sometimes an agony in your heart, a desire to have a companion. That's a good thing. Because after Adam created all that he did, and they all came by God, he said, that's good, that's good, that's good. And then when he came to Adam, he said, that's not good. It's not good for man to be alone. Somebody saying, I know that, preacher. I want to stand up and scream that. God, if you want to be married, has the right partner for you. I believe that. And so what did God do? He made Adam a helpmeet or a partner for him. And in so doing, here's what he did. He established the rite of matrimony as the heavenly host witnessed this wonderful scene. Marriage can be a wonderful scene. It can be a wonderful experience. Yes, it's going to have challenges. There's going to be a few burrs in the rose plant. But it can be a good experience. Now, marriage is designed to promote some things. Here's what it's designed to do. It is designed to promote human happiness. God does want you happy. Now, some of you are right now, you're thinking about your partner and thinking, well, if that's the case, then they better man up or woman up. But let me tell you something else marriage is designed to do. Hello, 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 world, America. It is designed to promote holiness. That's another sermon. But what God has said is wrong, is wrong. Folks, all these things we're doing outside of marriage and not marrying, I'm sorry. God says it's a problem. It's a problem. That's another message. But marriage is designed to promote human happiness and holiness. Marriage is the foundation of home life. And not only that, of the social order. And listen to me, it must remain that way until the end of time. So attempting marriage without including the designer and his instruction for marriage, I'm sorry, folks, it's the truth. It is a recipe for disaster. That's the reason I keep asking myself, when is this country going to recognize that some of the things we're standing for and believing for, they're not working? God is the designer of marriage. It was His idea. I don't care what the surveys say about the divorce rate among church-going people, but I can tell you this. When a couple worships together each week, and when their experience overflows into their daily lives, guess what? There is going to be a blessing. There's going to be a Garden of Eden blessing. A couple that hymns each day in prayer isn't likely to come unraveled. The couple that prays together stays together. Can I hear a big amen? Amen? Now, secondly, the marriage covenant requires sensitivity. Everybody say, wow, marriage requires sensitivity. Go figure. Marriage counselor William T. Harley Jr. suggests that marriages grow stronger when each spouse tries to do whatever makes the other happy and avoids doing what makes the other unhappy. Happy and unhappy. Now that seems obvious to us. But how many of you know it's not how many marriages function? Harley wrote, marital conflict is created in one of two ways. Number one, couples fail to make each other happy. Or couples make each other unhappy. There it is. Here's the point today. Happy, unhappy. In the first case, couples are frustrated because their needs are not being met. Now, folks, let me tell you can still live in the same house and not be married. You can live, you can have an existing marriage, but not really have a marriage that glorifies and honors God. Say ouch, everybody. You see, in the first case, couples are frustrated because their needs are not being met. In the second case, listen to this, they're deliberately hurting each other. Here's a classified ad. This is a true classified ad. Listen to this. For sale, cheap, one wedding dress, size 10, worn only by mistake. Earl and Bubba are quietly sitting in a boat fishing and chewing. I think they were doing some other things too, and they're having a good time when suddenly Bubba says, I think I'm going to divorce my wife. She ain't spoke to me in over 2 months. Earl spits and says, better think it over. Woman like that, hard to find. Happy? Unhappy. Come on. Happy. Some of you are going to get that later on in the week. It's just going to kind of drift through your brain and you're going to be driving down the road saying, oh, I get it now. Hallelujah. You see, the most basic principle of a marriage is becoming aware of each other's emotional needs and learning to meet them. According to Harley, the key question is, what could your spouse do for you that would make you the happiest? Everybody likes that. Hey, what can he or she do for me that'll make me the happiest? But the other question is, what could you do for your spouse that would make him or her the happiest? Now, some of you are kind of, you're not wanting to be obvious. You're wanting to scratch your head and say, I don't know. Folks, just guess at it. Just kind of guess at it. And I think you'll probably get into the ballpark. Amen? Hey, guys, listen. She's always dropping those hints. Come on, you just got to clue in. My wife had the audacity recently. No, not the audacity. We were walking through the mall and I don't know, something. Next thing I knew, we were over into this jewelry store and she's saying, I just want to look at some of those earrings. I need some for the day and some of the. I thought, well, I didn't buy her earrings, but I went and bought her a car. So praise the Lord. I manned up. Isn't this, stop it, what Ephesians 5 is saying? Oh, you're throwing the preacher off now. I'm on a roll here telling good jokes, and we got some hecklers on the front row here. Not good. Where's Bob? Bob, get ready. Get the security out. Isn't this what Ephesians 5 is saying? Which really kind of leads me to my third point. Thirdly, the marriage covenant grows in the atmosphere of respect and honor. Here's what, by the way, Genesis 2 and 25 refers to this. It talks about Adam and Eve. Now, how many of you know there were some obvious differences between Adam and Eve? All the more obvious because they were both naked and not ashamed. Now, I want you to listen. God created Adam and Eve and all people to harmonize and correspond with each other. Now, I better clarify that. It's like I got to check there. I need to clarify. Adam and Eve, praise the Lord, to harmonize. I love you. I got to check there. Like, you better clarify. That didn't come out as clear as maybe it needed to be. But how many of you know the differences aren't just physical? We also have corresponding operating systems on an emotional and psychological level. Come on, if you hadn't been listening, listen up. Because here's what they are. Women need affection and tenderness, and men need affirmation and lots of it, and they need respect. Women need affection and tenderness, which really is honor, and men need affirmation and respect. It's true. How many of you know that when you treat a woman with tenderness and affection, you are honoring her, you are preferring her? None of this, I'm the man around here. That old school stuff isn't Bible and it doesn't work. You know, when you read Ephesians 5, Paul paints a great picture of the church and the Lord Jesus. How many of you know that Jesus is the servant of the church? Jesus laid down His life for the church. And He gave us everything we need. Men, that's really what we need to do regarding our wives. Some of you saying, well, she doesn't do her part. Okay, that's what this message is about, to kind of kickstart some things here. Men need, and I got to say it, affirmation and respect. Really, we don't have time to preach everything on this and teach everything, but I'm going to encourage you, if you love the institution of marriage and you want to understand it, go read Ephesians 5. Because Paul told husbands to do this. He told them to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And wives are called to respect their husbands. Now, verse 8, see, all the little mental arguments can start right now. He, she, hey, you need this message. If you're he, she, if you're sitting here right now hearing this, or however you're hearing this, and you're thinking he needs to do, or she needs to do, stop. You do your part, and then you let God deal with him, or vice versa. Come on, that's kind of our human nature. We concentrate on what the other people around us are not doing. Hey, that's the world we live in. A lot of people are not doing what they need to be doing. A lot of Christians are not doing what they need to be doing. But hey, that is the reality of the world. Verse 33 puts it well. He says, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. The problem that a lot of men have today is they really don't know how to love themselves because they have poor father images. And therefore they don't see God as loving. That's the first place that men need to work on, is understanding that God loves them. And he's not abusive. He's not harsh. He's not a taker. He's a giver. And so everyone needs love and respect. Isn't that true? Everybody. But in marriage, I'm going to say it again because I want you to get this. A woman has an incredible need for tender affection. Did you notice the wording there? Tender affection, which is honor. And a man has a great need for his wife to esteem and respect him. Let me tell you something, ladies. Listen, don't think this is going to be just a one-sided message. I'm going to tell you, men can get beat up by this world today. Come on, it's true. Men are getting beat up by this world today. It's so true. And here's what he needs. He needs to know that when he comes home, that he has a wife that will build him up and not tear him down. When he walks in the door, he doesn't need that look like, take the shoes off, bud. Take the dog out. And all this stuff that's not good for romance and is certainly not good for a healthy marriage. But what he needs is he needs to be built up. He's been torn down all day, all week long. He needs to be built up. Unlike this man. Listen to this guy. His credit card was stolen, but he decided not to report it because the thief was spending less than his wife did. All right, ladies, it's your turn. Women likewise need the security of knowing that their husbands put them above all else. You want a secure wife? Let her know that she is the most important thing in your life, except God, of course. A woman wants that above all else, but she wants you to be a God man too. And by the way, folks, this is best demonstrated through tender affection and by sometimes just stopping and listening. Guys, we are notorious fixers. We think they want us to come in the house just like we're still on the job site giving commands and giving directives and fixing the problem. You know what? They just want to talk. And they just want you to listen. Don't you know, men, that women as a whole have a whole lot more words to get out in a day's time than you do? Men come home, I'm talked out, I don't want to talk. Huh? What? We grunt, get the flipper, and kind of look back over the chair like, what's for dinner, babe? You know, it's a different world we live in. Hey, I believe if both folks are working, I think, oh, God knows I'll regret this one. That you ought to, be a part of, oh, what am I saying this for? The duties around the house. I'm learning. I've got a few people around me that are rubbing off on me. And I don't hang around them very often, but just enough to learn a little bit. Here's the wrong thing to say, guys. Listen. A husband and his wife are getting ready for bed, and as the wife is standing in front of the mirror, she takes a hard look at herself. She said, "Look at me." She said, "I look like an old woman. I have wrinkles on my face. My arms are flabby. My hair is dull and gray." Looking at her husband, she smiles and says, "Say something positive about me that will make me feel better." The poor husband paused for a moment, and he sweetly said, "Well, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight, honey." I wouldn't go there, guys. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Here's another one. Marriage is when a man and a woman become as one. The trouble starts when they try to decide which one. Since I'm a guy, guys, listen. God is not only the designer of marriage, but He is the designer of the female species. Praise the Lord for it. Oh, buddy, some of you could have stood up and shouted like you missed it. Listen, they are designed the way they are designed by God. Some of you guys hadn't learned it yet. You're saying, and they're peculiar. They're strange. Stop. No, they're a gift of God. Ladies, come on. In this society, I don't care what they're saying on the TV screen. I don't care what they're doing. They're taking the finest human specimens that look the best and they're painting this false picture. That ain't the real world. Ladies, a man is designed the way he is. His primary drive in life, unless he's gotten discouraged and put out with life, is to be a provider. That's going to be his number one thing. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. Listen, come on. The church has done a pretty good job of telling the world what they're doing wrong sexually. But I think it's time for the church to get its house in order. I think it's time for the church. We need to start doing a better job of understanding. Second on his list, and he's not wrong, he's not an animal, and all these other things that men get called, his second need and desire on that list is sex. I'm sorry. Now, all you folks who are not married and young, that's in the confines of marriage. Otherwise, there's trouble awaiting you. But in the confines of matrimony and marriage, there is a blessing. There is a consummating power on the marriage covenant when a man and a woman understands that. And I'm going to tell you, one of the problems that I see today is everybody's going in 9 different directions. And I'm going to tell you, we're not taking time for these things that I'm talking about. We're not taking time for romance. And somehow or another, we're not even taking time for God. And we think everything is just going to work out. Folks, you heard my analogy. It's like buying the finest car that you ever wanted. It's like not putting any gasoline in it. That car, you are not Superman and Superwoman. Your marriage will sputter out and run out of gas somewhere along the way. So I say go buy the car, but I say also, hey, put some gas in it. Amen? Certainly marriages will have its ups and downs. But I know this, when two people are committed and stay committed both to God and to each other, marriage becomes a lifetime of learning and loving. It's true. Marriage, let me tell you folks, sometimes we think it's always supposed to be goosebumps and it's always, you know, hey, if it's not feeling good, I'm out. No. Let me tell you, God designed the marriage relationship for learning. It's a lifelong learning experience. Here's the bottom line today. If you'll be what God wants you to be, you'll be to your husband or your wife what they need you to be. Did you hear what I said? If you'll be who God wants you to be, and you'll be the one who your husband or wife need you, then you will be what your husband or wife needs you to be. When that happens, your marriage, listen to me, can recover from its stresses. Marriages today are stressed out. You know, sometimes, and I think this is good, hey, we act like everything is fine when deep down we're really hurting. God does want it to be a loving and happy home. But that takes understanding some of these things. It will also, if you'll do these things, it will grow through the seasons of life. Young people, listen to me. I don't know how to tell you this. You're not going to be young always. My goodness. I'm already thinking, how did this happen? Why, when I go work with a wood pile, do I end up with a sore neck and a wounded arm? Some of you, you're just out of shape. No, I work out. I'm in shape. You ain't always going to be young. There's going to be seasons, husbands and wives, in your lives. And if you keep the designer at the center of it, and you'll keep doing the things that I've talked about and that you know to do, guess what? You will finish with God's heavenly blessing upon your marriage. Now, do you want to be one in marriage? If you do, then you have to start with the spiritual first. And let me tell you something else. Sensitivity is required. And then thirdly, respect and honor are a must. I want you to stand this morning and I want to pray with you that the Lord will bless your marriage. I'm not going to call anybody forward this morning. But I just want to pray those of you who are married. And by the way, I'm believing, I've been praying for this all week long. I have been praying, those of you who have been hurt in marriage, listen, sometimes you get people together, hurts happen. I've been believing God that your heart would be healed, that you would be restored, that you would be made whole, and give God praise all the way through it. Amen? There is hope for you. And God can restore and heal your marriage. And if He can't heal and restore the one that you were in, guess what? You want to be married? You want a relationship? God has someone else for you. You want to be one? I want to pray for you this morning in Jesus' name. Lord, we give you praise and we give you honor. Lord, I am praying for every marriage this morning that you would heal and that you would restore. Father, I pray, make us one in spirit. Father, I pray that all of us will understand that, Lord, we must begin with the spiritual part of marriage first. God, help us to understand that the institution of marriage is your idea. And you're the one that created it. You are the author of it. And that you have an answer, that you have directions, and you have ways in which we can live and be happy and be holy at the same time. Father, let your blessing come upon every marriage that is represented here this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And all of God's people said,